Our guest on our World Cafe today, live from the stage of World Cafe Live, is Joan Osborne. And when you talk about Joan, you kind of have to start with the voice, that rich, supple, warm, sexy, and a zillion other adjectives voice. Before most people knew about her, she was singing five sets a night of covers in clubs in New York City. The voice got her a major label record deal, leading to Relish in 1995. Then it was time to start paying attention to the writing. It was an amazing album that contained One of Us, a song she didn't write, but went to number one. And some pretty great songs she did write about Ray Charles and St. Teresa, and as great a song about lust as anyone has ever written in Right Hand Man. Many more fine albums and a lot of special projects over the years, like singing on stage with the Grateful Dead and with the musicians who made the Motown hits and Standing in the Shadows of Motown. Now comes a new album, which is really unlike anything she has ever done. It's an album of love songs, so of course it is called Love and Hate. And we're really happy that Jack Petrozelli, who co-produced the album, is here as well. Please warmly welcome back to the World Cafe, Joan Osborne.
Thank you. inside the beating of your heart. Oh, baby, 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 this is where we start. Oh, baby, 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 this is where we start, where we start. Oh, baby, 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 this is where we start.
Joan Osborne with Keith Cotton on keyboards and guitar, and Jack Petroselli on guitar, and Joan on percussion and iPod. And that's one of the tunes from Love and Hate. So tell me about this record, because my understanding is this has been in the works for a long time, and you even put out records while you were still working on it. And why did this project like grab hold of you in that way?
Yeah, this is one of those years in the making things, and we did put out a couple records from the time that we started. Well, this is something that Jack approached me about years ago, and we're both big fans of Van Morrison records like Astral Weeks and Veed and Fleece, and he was saying that, you know, we could do something that had that sort of a lush feel to it. So that first song that you heard, Where We Start, is one of the first things that we wrote, and it felt to me like the lyrics that I was coming up with were starting to sort of pull the cart, you know, in a way, and take the songs into a different territory than we might have expected in the first place. And so I think that's probably why it took us so long to kind of, you know, get to the point where we felt like we had a batch of songs that was sort of fit this concept. It sort of became a concept record as we were making it. We didn't start out to do that, but you know, that happens sometimes where you're working on something and it wants to be something other than what you intended, and you can either fight it or go with it, so we decided to go with it. At least I did. I don't know, Jack may have had some misgivings about that.
Well, I should mention that you talk about this being a stripped-down record, but that first song on the record begins with this beautiful, lush string arrangement, which kind of points towards Astral Weeks in a way.
Yeah, so. you can definitely hear traces of that stylistic thing that we were going for, and there's a lot of beautiful orchestrations on the record, but then there's also tunes that you know, come from a very different place stylistically, but we just felt like we wanted to have the style fit the content of the song as opposed to the other way around, writing songs that would fit into this musical style.
Well, Jack is here with us, and Jack Petroselli. Now, how do you, Jack, react to Joan's lyrics? Because on a song like we just heard, I'll bet you really had to work on each of those little bits, because they're so perfect about, you know, things about love.
Yeah, well, you know, Joan will bring in a line, then usually I'll change it, and then I'll keep changing it, and then she'll say, "That you made that much better." No, that's not how it happens. When it comes to the lyrics, you know,
it's
all Joan. I may offer a suggestion here or two, but it's pretty much her. When it, you know, it's her story. It's her story. It's her picture on the laminate.
This is so true. Well, tell you what, let's hear some more of these, because there's some just wonderful writing. One of the things you did do a little bit on this record, you got a little bit away from being kind of the blues R&B oriented writer. There's a lot of different kind of writing on this. Was that conscious?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was trying to lyrically come up with some songs which would reflect what the title says, which is love and hate. And you know, my contention is that we, you know, there's a million love songs out there, and there's a million breakup songs, and there's a million things that have been written about you know, romantic relationships. But I felt like there were some things that had sort of fallen between the cracks about what it's like to stay in a relationship. I mean, you can certainly find a million songs about falling in love with somebody, or kicking them to the curb when you're, you know, breaking up with them, or when they've broken up with you, you're lamenting, hey, babe, how could you do this to me? But just the nuts and bolts of staying in it and navigating that as grown-ups, I think, is something that maybe hasn't been written about quite so much. So I was trying to find some, you know, lyrics and songs that would sort of, you know, explore those different areas along that continuum between the love and the hate, and you know, what happens in between. That sort of you know, pushed me away from more blues style lyric writing.
So that brings us to this song "Mongrels," which seems to have all that in it, right?
Yeah, this one. You know, the central image for me was of this couple who's locked in battle with each other, and they're so involved in this conflict that they can't see anything else around them, and it's like the conflict has taken on a life of its own, and I think maybe people can relate to that. So
an island of bliss in this ridiculous place, but now the river runs black and I don't know the way back. I feel it going to waste. We are the mongrels underneath the table, fighting for the leavings, tearing them to shreds. We are the mongrels rolling on the floorboards, unaware of the bed above our heads. Ooh. I reach across the divide, I wanna take you inside, but something's holding me down. There is a thorn in my side, it's coming on like a tide, these tender feelings to drown. Underneath the table, fighting for the leavings, tearing them to shreds. We are the mongrels, rolling on the floorboards, unaware of the banquet up above our heads. This is our chance for the prize. It's waiting here in my eyes. You hardly look at me now. With every beat of my heart, I wanna make a new start, but I don't seem to know how. We are the mongrels underneath the table, fighting for the leavings, tearing them to shreds. We are the mongrels rolling on the floorboards, unaware of the banquet up above our heads.
Thank you. This next tune is one that was written by myself and Keith Cotton, who's here with us today. This was he has a whole bunch of beautiful melodies that he's sort of stockpiling, and he played me some of them one afternoon when I was looking for some inspiration for this record, and there was one that just really captivated me. It's got sort of an Indian style to it, and to me it very much suggested the way that memory works when you're thinking about love, and that's a part of what love means to us, is looking back on it from a distance and taking these memories out and examining them like jewels. And there was this beautiful poem that I was kind of obsessed with at the time by this contemporary poet, this woman, Dorian Lowe, and it's called The Shipfitter's Wife. And it talks about that very thing of looking back at a great love from this distance of many years, and taking this memory out and examining it. And so I wrote a lyric based on that, and it worked so beautifully with this gorgeous melody of Keith's.
Inside the bed, When he came home from the ocean, tired and dirty, half undressed, I would take his day inside me. That was when I loved him best. When he came home from the ocean, tired and dirty, half undressed, I would take his day inside me. That was when I loved him best.
Thank you.
That is beautiful. That is Raga, another one from Love and Hate, Joan Osborne's new one, and we're hearing these songs live on stage at World Cafe Live today. Back when I introduced you, I talked a little bit about the womanly hips era of your career back in New York City before like you got signed and mm-hmm. Relish and all that. That seems like a really fun time, the early 90s, et cetera, in New York City. What was it like, and who were some of your contemporaries?
Well, it was an amazing time, and I sometimes think, wow, if I were coming up now, would there be the same kind of live music scene that that was so important to me and such an amazing thing happening at the time? Yeah, this was like the early 90s, and there were a lot of blues clubs and a lot of live music clubs. There was a big scene down on Bleecker Street and clubs all around the city. And I mean, it's really kind of why I ended up doing music in the first place, is just accidentally stumbling into this one place and getting caught up in this whole scene that was happening. It was wonderful because it was a great training ground. It was a great place to listen to a lot of other people. There were people like Chris Whitley and the Holmes Brothers on the scene at the time, the Blues Traveler and Spin Doctors, and a little bit later, Jeff Buckley was around, and, you know, not to mention many, many others. There were, you know, great artists who were coming up themselves, and it was also a wonderful sort of proving ground and a place to learn how to do what you're going to do. If you're, you know, as you said, playing 4 1-hour sets on a Friday night, you know, you get to that fourth set, and, you know, just through sheer exhaustion and repetition, you get to some other zone that you never would have gotten to just sitting alone by yourself in your room. So, so it was a great way to, you know, learn and grow, and also be part of this cool community that was happening at the time.
And be able to afford to live in Manhattan, which no musician could do now.
Yeah, you know, with 3 or 4 roommates and right. That whole thing. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then Relish happened, a really great album. As I said, I just admire your writing on that record so much. But ironically, the song that became such a big hit was Eric Bazilian's tune. And what was your, how do you look back on that record? And how, I guess there's two parts to it. How do you look back on it, and how did you feel at the time as you kind of watched it kind of whoosh off and do really, really well?
Well, looking back on it, you know, I have a lot of gratitude for, you know, being so successful right out of the box. I mean, I wasn't thinking about, you know, having a hit single or anything like that when we were making the record. And it was really just, you know, we were just trying to create something excellent and beautiful that pleased us. And I guess that's, you know, everybody says that's the way to do something that will reach a lot of people, is to please yourself first. And, like I said, I've got nothing but a lot of gratitude for having had that success. And I feel like, in a way, it's been partly responsible for me being able to have this very long career, because I certainly had fans who were who knew about me before that record, but it enabled a lot of people to, you know, to get familiar with what I was doing, even beyond the hit song, and a lot of those fans have stayed with me for, you know, a long, long time now. I mean, it's going to be the 20th anniversary of that record next year, so, wow. Yeah. So that's a long time to have a career in the music business these days, and I know that it's a privilege to be able to do it, and I have a lot of, you know, gratitude towards those fans.
Well, I have to tell you, this record feels like a career record too. There's a lot of really great writing and real varied things on here. So,
thank you.
I'm not saying it's Relish Part Two, but it's a really great, great record. One of us, as we mentioned, Eric Bazillion wrote that, and mm-hmm. you ended up writing with him on this record.
I did, yeah. We were kind of down to the 11th hour, Jack and myself and the guys, and I felt like, you know, there's something that this group of songs really needs and doesn't quite have, and I was on the road with this side project band that I have, Trigger Hippie, and there was this insistent little thing in my head of almost like an 80s dance loop that just kept going over and over in my head, and I threw these lyrics at it, and I was like, wow, this might be something, but I don't know that I'm the person to really complete this without help. So I reached out to Eric because, you know, he's an incredibly talented guy, as all you Philly people know. And he works really fast, and, you know, he's just got this very unusual left-of-center sensibility. You know, I've said this about him, and it's really a compliment. Most of us have this editor that sits in our brains and keeps us from saying something stupid or doing something stupid. He doesn't have that guy. So you're liable to get anything, you know, in any moment from Eric, which is a great thing if you're looking to come up with something musical that's unusual. So we tried to get together. We couldn't actually be in the same place at the same time, but we, you know, FaceTimed each other and wrote the song, in the space of, you know, an afternoon. And the song is called Up All Night.
Sometimes the knife, always the hand that holds my life. You keep me up all night. You keep me up all night. Oh, don't it seem that it's better than a dream? Every time with you is made of gold. You take me to the
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Joan Osborne, live on stage at World Cafe Live, and a big thanks once again to our World Cafe special producers. And thank you, Joan.
Thank you guys so much for coming out. Thank you. Keith Cotton, Jack Petruzzelli.
And we'll be back in a moment on the World Cafe.